Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of What's Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Alia from Alia Yoga, and today I have another wonderful guest who shares wellness and psychology-based tools and suggestions for handling all of the changes that have been happening and are continuing to happen in our lives this year. We have been experiencing unprecedented times of uncertainty, which, with technology and the advancements of our time, to me it's so strange to not know exactly what's going on or be able to predict what's going to happen next. I consider myself someone who has like a superpower for self-discipline and determination, but my weakness is for anticipation. It's really difficult for me to anticipate something or to not know what the outcome of a circumstance is going to be. Right before my surgery on my small intestines, I really wanted to know, would they find the intussusception, the mass that they found in the scan, or not? Would I wake up in a recovery room, which is what happened, or in a hospital room with a week ahead of me of pain and recovery before I'd be able to go home? So it was really difficult not knowing exactly what was ahead. And I've always been this way. As a kid in school, I would start a book and then skip ahead and read the end of the book and then go back and finish what was in the middle. I've even fast-forwarded through movies, and I've expressed and articulated that I wish I could know how certain circumstances were going to end up or wind up being like. I don't mind living through the process. I just want to know what the outcome is going to be. But of course, this is a part of life, and being okay with not knowing is something we need to develop as a skill. With trusting that things are going to work out, and if they don't, that we'll have the tools to handle the situation and be strong enough to make our way through it and out the other side, having at least learned some valuable lessons. So in today's episode, I speak with special guest Dr. Craig Springer, who is a psychologist on the East Coast and has been offering telehealth services to help others navigate through this psychologically trying time with COVID-19. He gives great suggestions on the show today and tips for ways to look at this time as an opportunity to slow down and connect and shed some light into why this can be so difficult for us at times and as a culture. Before I introduce you to Dr. Springer, I'm bringing back the warm words of the week, where I read a review that was left in the iTunes podcast app on the air. So if you've had your review read in the past, or your review is read today or going forward, please send an email to alia@aliayoga.com, spelled A-H-L-I-A, so that I can send you a code for a free full-length yoga class video that you can access from my website anytime at aliayoga.com. This is my way of saying thank you for listening and leaving a review. Today's review comes from Mackenzie S. Or Mackenzis? Mackenzie S. says, Alia's show is well-rounded. She has so many shows on so many different wellness topics. I enjoy all the guests she brings on, and I love hearing about her personal story with wellness, too. Oh, I thank you so much for those very warm words and for your support of this show. Remember to email me for your code to access a full-length yoga class for free from my website as my way of saying thank you. I also have wise words of the week for you today, a quote from Maya Angelou, something I've posted on my social media channels before because this quote really speaks to my heart. And I put forth effort to live by these words. Maya Angelou says, if you must look back, do so forgivingly. If you must look forward, do so prayerfully. However, the wisest thing you can do is be present in the present, gratefully. Well, I'm very glad you're tuning in today. I hope it's been a great day and week so far for you. As always, I have a quick break and a word from Anchor, and then I'll be back to introduce you to Dr. Craig Springer and share about the 2020 reset and some tools to handle all the changes that we're going through this year. Hope you'll stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to What's Wellness Podcast today. I'm very excited to have Craig Springer on the phone with me for a long-distance interview. Craig, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
I would love to ask you first and foremost to introduce yourself and then talk about what wellness looks and feels like for you personally before we go more into what you do for others. So can you tell us about yourself and what wellness looks like for you?
Sure. So I'm Craig Springer. I'm a clinical psychologist. I have my PhD in clinical psychology from Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey. And I currently own and oversee the Good Life Center for Mental Health, which is in Cranford, New Jersey. I've been doing this for almost 2 years. Prior to that, I worked at Rutgers University overseeing their large training center for doctoral students who are training to be psychologists. And at the same time, I was co-directing the Coordination Center for Child Abuse and Maltreatment Forensic Evaluation and Treatment, which was through the New Jersey Department of Children and Families. Prior to that, I was a supervising psychologist at Newark Beth Israel Medical Center on an outpatient basis, working with children and families, treating and developing a treatment model for trauma. And I'm excited to be on the show today. In terms of what I believe health and wellness is to me, is, you know, really being able to be present in the moment, being able to focus on the here and now, being able to allow ourselves to really enjoy what we have in front of us and focus less on what we don't have, the difficulties that we're currently facing, but rather, you know, what are we happy about? What do we enjoy in life? And what do we have that we can experience that's pleasurable and enjoyable? Not neglecting the hardships, but more growing from them. And, you know, there's something called post-traumatic growth, this whole idea behind taking positive out of sometimes a difficult situation. And, you know, that to me is really the core of feeling good and being happy. Obviously, that goes along with eating well, exercising, you know, making sure to take out time for yourself and self-care. All those things I feel really contribute to health and wellness. And that's, you know, has been important to me, you know, as I've been, you know, living my life currently. You know, I've had a lot of tragedies and difficulties early on in my life, and I was able to really meet wonderful people along the way and really develop this ability to thrive rather than just survive. And I think that's what it's all about, you know, living life to our fullest.
Yes, that's huge. Thriving rather than just surviving, especially in this day and age. And like you said, having been through some challenging experiences or trauma growing up, it's so easy to fall back on this kind of autopilot of focus on what's not going well or what's happened that's hard in life. But shifting the perspective and learning from those experiences and growth despite some discomfort, that's really important. And we're starting to uncover that topic on this show. So I love that about you and your personal wellness journey. It sounds like you've been through a lot and also learned a lot in your life and your experiences.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate. You know, I feel like there have been multiple paths that I could have taken. And luckily, I met the right people, but also was able to kind of, you know, take the right path for one reason or another. And I learned about the, you know, the power of the mind and our ability to be able to capitalize on our experiences and really utilize them to help us propel us forward in the trajectory that we want. And, you know, I credit that, you know, for a lot of the successes and achievements that I've made. And, you know, fortunately, I've been able to help others, you know, with that as well. You know, I think that we're at a time right now with regard to COVID, where that's exactly what we can do. You know, we can choose during this time to, focus on what we don't have, what we can't do. And there's a lot of things that people are experiencing right now. This is a really hard time that we're going through. But we can also choose to focus on what we do have and what benefits there are that we have right now, which may be, telecommuting and being at home with family and the people that we love and getting to spend more time with them, rather than, focusing on solely, not being able to get away, from being at home 24 hours a day. Or it may also be, really being able to cook dinners at home rather than eating out, because we maybe our inclination has been to eat out at restaurants. And it might be nice to, make dinners with family. So, I think there are benefits that we can gain from any difficult situation. And I think that, we're in one right now where, people can choose to focus on how miserable they are or what they wish was different, rather than, focusing on, all the great things that, may be coming about because of it.
Yes, it's so important. And you talked about the power of your mind and how you can shift your perspective. And coping with COVID-19, it is almost like a reset of what our normal routines and daily lives were like before all of this. And now, like you're saying, not taking for granted the time that you're perhaps spending at home with your children or your family, or not having to drive as much, or even not being able to go out to eat in restaurants. There's something so beautiful in a way, the simplicity and the opportunity to cook and fuel your body in the way that can optimize your well-being rather than contribute to more of the sickness in our culture. Can you talk a little bit more about the power of your mind and either coping with COVID-19 and or finding happiness and joy in life?
Sure. The thing is that our mind often plays tricks on us. We often have these distorted ways of kind of seeing the world, and most people have the tendency to look at the negative, to either think in all or nothing terms and focus on all positive or all negative. So, during COVID, we might focus on what we don't have, and say we have nothing right now. Life is really bad. We could be really sad and miserable about it. Or, we can choose to kind of look at it as, a series of challenges that we're working to overcome, right? And, that there are some good and there are some things that we wish were different, but, we can capitalize and focus on that good that really can bring us additional good and bring us additional enjoyment. The whole idea right now is that, and I try to stay focused on this, is in a way, COVID is bringing the world together. The world's a lot smaller than it ever once was, right? And because of airplanes and other ways of travel, that a pandemic like this has hit the entire world. I don't think anybody's immune to it at this point. And we have researchers and everyone just working together trying to figure out how are we going to help get rid of this. How are we going to cure it or find a vaccine for it, or how are we going to adapt, right? Schools are trying to figure out what to do. Businesses are trying to navigate this. Everybody's trying to figure out this uncharted territory. And what's nice is, if we think about it like that, there's this real collective that we often don't get to experience, and it's not even a collective in the sense of, a family or a city or a state. I mean, we're talking about the entire world is working on a common goal right now. I mean, that's pretty amazing. It really kind of feels like we're connected as people in a different way than maybe we've ever been before. And that's pretty amazing. And then the other thing is, we have people working to gain and get more experience with various technologies. We're in a position right now. I mean, we're very fortunate in a lot of ways. The way I see it, at least, is that, if the pandemic happened, 20, 30, 40 years ago, we'd be in a very different place. I mean, businesses wouldn't be able to operate the way they are now. I mean, the fact that we have technology in as advanced as we do, the fact that everybody has, or most people have internet at home, and can utilize that to connect and even meet with each other, right? So we don't have to be socially disconnected. We may be socially distant, but we don't have to be disconnected. We can use and garner the technology that exists to really connect and and see each other and schedule maybe even dinner dates. You know, I actually had a dinner date with a close friend of mine a few weeks ago. And, you know, although initially it felt kind of awkward, you know, I'm not at the same table with them, we're not eating the same food. After a while, it kind of felt natural. Like we were just having a conversation as we normally would. We're seeing each other. We're, you know, they're eating their food, we're eating ours, but our families are kind of interacting and enjoying time with each other. It was really great. And, you know, similarly, you know, this may give you an opportunity to connect with people that you don't normally connect with. I mean, for instance, my wife, you know, has we're in New Jersey, right? And you know, my wife's with me, and she has friends across the country. She went to UCLA, and she has tons of friends out in California. And you know, she's been scheduling regular dates online with her friends to get together and hang out and talk. The people she hasn't had very frequent contact with at all. And now she's having, you know, weekly to several, you know, maybe once a month with other people, but it's so much more frequent than, you know, her contact that she used to have, because we can finally slow down. We finally don't have all these competing engagements that we have to attend to, which, you know, is comforting and nice. So it's really the way we, you know, this ultimately comes back to your question, which is it's really the way we look at the situation that really defines what we do and how we utilize it. You know, I'm a true believer that our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors are all linked together. And if we're able to think a certain way, even if our mind, you know, initially says, you know, this is a horrible situation, if we can at least challenge that, talk back to that thought, and say, you know, maybe that's not as accurate as we think. Maybe it's not objective reality. Maybe it is subjective, and maybe we're actually fooling ourselves because it's not as bad as, you know, we may think it is. We have a chance of actually, you know, seeing wonderful things, beautiful things in front of us that we may miss.
Absolutely. That's so powerful. And it's true. With the fast-paced, go-go-go lifestyle, it's easy to miss out on the simple things in life. But I'm wondering if you can answer this question because it's been heavy on my mind and my heart. Why is it so difficult for some people, and I'll include myself in this, to slow down? It's been challenging for me to slow down.
You know, I think it's a function of our society, right? I mean, there's this expectation that we're always going to be available. I mean, with cell phones these days and text messaging and email that's instantaneously available on every device you possibly have, I think there's this tendency to respond to those expectations. You know, there's no end to the workday anymore. I think that's especially the case, you know, unfortunately, now that with COVID and a lot more people working from home, it's like even their setting is the same for working and for leisure time. And I think that's a real challenge. And I always, when I talk to people and I work with my clients, I really talk about the importance of really separating that out and protecting some time for your family and for yourself. But I think that, you know, our society has become this instant gratification, instant response world. We kind of have allowed ourselves all to kind of join in on that. And maybe we expect that from other people as well. So it's just part of what we've grown up to, you know, grown up into a situation in which, you know, now we're kind of in, and it's hard to get ourselves out. So what we have to do in that particular case, as with anything, you know, I feel like, you know, we have to train our minds, right? You know, just like we you know, if we want to get more muscular, right, we have to exercise, and we have to we can't expect to lift, to bench press our highest weight on day one. It's a gradual process where we build up our muscle. Our brain is like that as well, you know, and mindfulness and meditation are examples of this, of, you know, where these types of activities are really to help us gain an understanding of the present, of where we are right now in our present minds, without allowing our thoughts to kind of take us on a journey away from them. But that's not an easy process for most people. You know, a lot of the people, and myself included, when I started practicing mindfulness and meditation, I wasn't able to focus on whatever I was meditating or being mindful about. These thoughts from all over the place would be coming into my head and kind of interrupting, in a way, what I was trying to do. And gradually, I got to a point where I was able to acknowledge my thoughts, but kind of allow them to kind of float away and focus back on what I wanted to, whether it be my breath, whether it be on eating something, whether it be on the person across from me. How often do we go to restaurants, right? Or when we could, when before COVID, and we see two people together, but they're truly not together. They're both on their phones doing something completely distant from each other. And this is all too frequent. People are working constantly, or people are having conversations with other people that they're not in front of. And it just takes us away from, all the beautiful things that are right in front of our faces that we're missing.
It's so true. It's so true and so common. It's everywhere. I feel like we're conditioned in a way this day and age to respond to the notification on our phone. And then we get, is it dopamine? And it's like a something that encourages that response. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's been years since I've studied psychology, but was it Pavlov with the dogs?
Yes, it was Pavlov. Yep. Yeah, we get conditioned and it's hard to break that, right? I mean, we have to make a conscious effort to break these conditioned ways. And we also there's also so there's Pavlov, and that's classical conditioning, and then we have operant conditioning that also operates, right? We get reinforced for these immediate gratification or the immediate responses, or for not focusing on the present. So even those, are reinforcing, and that's really hard to break. So we have these different forces that are kind of working against us to actually take our attention away from maybe even what we want to be focusing on. And so we really have to take our all of our will and might and kind of put it back into where we want it to be, which is, allowing ourselves to focus on where we are in the moment.
I love it. It's so important. So you're a practicing clinical psychologist and you're talking about mindfulness and training your mind, your brain, or retraining yourself, conditioning. Do you have some usable tips or suggestions that listeners can take away and incorporate perhaps in their day?
Yeah, I think that there's a whole range of different things that we can be doing to help ourselves. And especially during COVID right now, I'll kind of give some examples of things that we could do right now to help ourselves.
Great.
When we wake up in the morning, and we don't need to go to work, if we're working from home or our kids are going to school remotely, it's really important that we start our day the way we would if we were going out. Really, take a shower, get dressed. I mean, it doesn't mean that you have to wear the same clothes that you would to the office or them to school, but at least change, right? Get your day started. Make sure within your day you build a schedule for yourself and incorporate within that schedule time for you to do some exercise, you to eat well. That's really important as well, right? So really orient yourself to make yourself as effective as possible, because no one does well if they sit at a computer for 8 or 10 hours straight. We need our breaks. We need our food. We need our sleep. We need all of those things, and that's really important. I can't tell you that there's anything worse than a lack of feeling well rested and well fed. That would probably result in people feeling jittery and feeling anxious and feeling, probably very sad as well. So those things are so important. That self-care, those self-care pieces are really important. The other thing that we can do is stay connected. Even though we may not be able to engage in all of the activities that we used to, find activities that you enjoy and that you can do with the people that you are maintaining social distance with, or you're in a household with. And then also schedule time to engage with others. And it may be that it may be safe at this point to schedule time with one or two people in an actual person. And if it's not, or you're not comfortable with that, make sure to schedule virtual meetings with people, whether it be coworkers, friends, and others, so that you can have that time to kind of talk about things and not feel so isolated socially. So feeling socially connected is a really important part for most people. And when we don't do that, oftentimes that results in sadness. It may result in feeling, very socially distant from other people. And we don't need to do that. The technology is out there to be able to engage. And then, as I've been doing, and I try to practice what I preach is, doing mindfulness and meditation activities. And there's tons of resources even online right now. New York City Well is an example of that. There's a website, and if you Google New York City Well, there's free apps right now, a whole range of them for anxiety, depression, sleep. You can click on them, listen to various, individuals who will go through mindfulness or meditations, that you could just close your eyes and listen to and do your best to focus on that for a few moments. Some of them are very short, some of them are longer. There are also ones that can help you sleep. There are short ones that can help you fall asleep, and there's ones that you could listen to while you're sleeping for people that kind of really need that, soothing music and such, and voice when they sleep. So there's a ton of things that we can do on our own. And then I would also say that, it's important that if you're really unhappy and you're having a lot of difficulty sleeping, eating, you're feeling very lethargic, you're having somatic symptoms or bodily symptoms that are not explained medically. These are indications that you may have a more serious mental health issue that may really warrant professional assistance. And I know that right now, a lot of mental health professionals throughout the country are providing therapy through telehealth, and telehealth is very, very effective. The research shows it's as effective as in-person therapy for a lot of problems. So seek that help out if that's what's needed, right? If you're having arguments with your spouse and you're having a really difficult time being in the house with the same people all the time, that's also a good indication that maybe you need that outlet. Maybe you need some professional help to help you get through this. And so not being worried or scared to do that as well is important. And then, I think that it's so important for also people to be aware that, sometimes we have really dark thoughts and we can't snap out of them so easily. And, those thoughts may be about around hurting yourself or hurting someone else or some type of fear for one's safety. And those are true emergencies. To me, those are non-negotiable in terms of whether people need help. It's really important that those people seek help immediately. And by going to the local emergency room, calling 911 or calling a suicide hotline. Unfortunately, I know a few people that have gone down that road and had not completed suicide, but had contemplated it or made attempts related to the COVID pandemic. So it is a really serious thing. And, I can't stress that enough that people should get help, with that. But also, if they're starting to have real difficulties that they can't seem to shake and can't seem to get past, even through doing the self-help stuff that I mentioned, that professional help is available and is important to receive.
Thank you so much for those tips and suggestions and that information. I find that for myself and for a lot of people, sometimes the hardest step is actually asking for help, seeking it out. And what would you
Definitely.
say to people who maybe are at that point to need help to almost get over the fear of asking for help or the fear of judgment?
Well, I think there's two things. One is that, to get help, you need to be ready for it and willing to do it or willing to get it. When I started my career, I thought that, if I had evidence-based techniques and I could give people things that the literature says works, whether or not they ask for it, whether or not I even understand what's really going on, they'll get better. And what I've learned is that you can't force somebody, or you can't make somebody change. People have to want to do that and want to. There's two pieces to that. One is putting in the effort that's required to actually make the changes, right? And even with mindfulness, for example, you have to allow yourself to listen and to practice and to really allow your thoughts to kind of allow yourself to have your thoughts kind of float away. So there's that piece. And the other piece is they have to want the outcome of that change. There are good reasons why people hold on to some of the difficult feelings and emotions and thoughts that they have. And it's important for us to recognize that maybe someone wouldn't want to give up some of these difficulties because they have some other benefit for them. They may be able to hold on to someone they love by feeling sad. And if they give up that sadness, they might be worried that, they're giving up the person that they love or, the memory of that person. So I think we have to be, recognize those things. So that's the first step is kind of, helping someone to get to that place of being ready or, and waiting for them to be at that place. The other thing is the stigma associated with it. I think that people are very reluctant to seek out mental health treatment, whereas medical treatment feels a lot better. A lot of people have, maybe less so these days, but still, people feel that they must be crazy if they see somebody, that it's admitting that they can't handle their own problems, things like that. And it's important to question those beliefs and question whether those beliefs are actually true. I would argue that it actually is really brave to seek out help when you need it rather than, go at it alone unsuccessfully. Why not live the best life that we can live, whatever means that is to get there? If we need others to help us with that, then so be it. And then that's actually a good thing.
Absolutely, I agree completely. And to want the outcome of the change, I heard you say, that's such a beautiful perspective because so often we get stuck and don't mind being stuck, but the opportunity for growth, for optimum wellness, for lightness in our minds and in our bodies through seeking out some help, either from our communities or from a professional, there's so much on the other side, even if it is challenging in the moment or uncomfortable to navigate. Wanting that change and that outcome is huge. So I want to ask you about in the same kind of realm of finding happiness and joy in life and coping with the times right now with COVID. What about improving relationships and getting closer to others? I know you talked about scheduling time to virtually connect, and if it's through Zoom or FaceTime to have dinner or happy hour or just time to chat with people. But what about improving the relationships with the people in our households and perhaps the strain of being stuck at home with someone has put on relationships?
Oh, for sure. And I could tell you that it's totally an issue for people right now. There's a lot of difficulties that people are having in their homes. I mean, if people were having difficulties in their relationships before COVID, being with their families or their spouses 24 hours a day, 7 days a week is going to take it to another level, clearly. So there are some concrete suggestions that can really be useful here. And the most important thing I think that I tell people is that you have to speak the same language. And in order to speak the same language, you have to try to understand the other person's perspective. And it's easy for us to think we know what the other person might be thinking or feeling, but it's really important that we actually really lean in to that experience and listen and ask and find out if we got it right before moving on to trying to negotiate or trying to even communicate what we're feeling. A lot of times we have misses, and I think that's the cause of 90% plus of people's relationship issues is that they're not on the same page. One person is talking about one thing, the other person is responding with something else that's not helpful. The other piece is that I think that people don't always listen and are good about, really being in the moment with the person, but rather they're focused on solving the problem as fast as possible and moving on. And that's not necessarily what people are looking for. A lot of times when, someone comes to you with a problem, they just want you to hear it and kind of go to that dark, deep, dark place with them, wherever they happen to be, and kind of, just be there for to be there as a sounding board, being there as someone who they can share their pain with. And so frequently, I think that we often try to either yes the person or try to apologize when there's something that might have happened, rather than really truly understanding and being able to really relate to the other person's experience and what they're really talking about. I can't stress enough, that we have to lean in and try to understand both what the other person's saying, but also what they're feeling. And if we don't know, all we have to do is simply ask. And it could be, paraphrasing, what the person said to make sure you got it right and whether they have anything to add to that. And then asking how they're feeling, what they're experiencing, and then being able to kind of relate to it and maybe sharing our own feelings in relation to what's happening and the conversation and dialogue. Once we get there, we usually can get to the next part, which is negotiation and discussing solutions. But until we're on the same page, the solutions are really, you're not going to even be appropriate to the problem at hand. I mean, because the problem is not known.
We all just want to be heard.
Right. That's exactly right. We want to be heard. And so often we're not. That's the problem, that we try so hard to have people listen to us. And that's, I believe that's why people kind of get agitated and scream and argue, because that's one way that they might get a response from the other person and have the other person understand that they're angry and upset. Because if they just tell that person that I'm feeling frustrated or upset right now, the other person might not even be hearing them or listening.
Or care.
Or care. That's right. So it causes tremendous pain,
Yeah.
when we have these misses. And I don't think that most people don't want to miss each other. I don't think that's a desire. I think that most we're once again we're kind of back to this whole idea of we have to move on to the next thing. We have to do as many things as possible. We have to, we have all these demands going on simultaneously. And if we fix this problem as fast as possible, we can move on to the next. And I think that with relationships, that just doesn't work. It doesn't allow that relationship to build stronger and often erodes it over time.
Right. And when I say they don't care, I don't mean they don't actually care, but they don't realize the depth of the emotion or the thought process or the feeling that someone's going feeling or experiencing to realize that they should show empathy, should take the time to really listen and understand. It's like it can easily be bypassed unless there's that level of communication and also openness. It takes what I call being unapologetically, authentically yourself to be able to communicate what you're feeling, but also in a compassionate way where you're not necessarily blaming or pointing a finger,
Sure.
but expressing yourself.
And you know what? The truth is that, not everybody's good at communicating. So it behooves the other person, maybe the person listening to this podcast, right, to take the initiative and maybe even say, I'm wondering if you might feel this way. Is that how you're feeling, or is it something else? To kind of give the person, the language if they don't have it already. And this is great, for working with kids as well. This is not limited to, just adults having a conversation or even intimate relationships. This stuff is important for kids. Kids act out because they're not heard a lot of the time. They're not, their perspective aren't understood. And, I think that, if we can try to lean into our kids a little bit more too, in terms of their experiences, instead of just telling them what to do, but also understanding or trying to understand their perspectives. We're going to be a lot more effective in gaining their compliance or having closer and more meaningful relationships with them.
That's beautiful. I'm curious your perspective. With regards to love languages, I think most of my listeners by now have heard of the love languages, and I have this interesting perspective on that because I feel like the language that I speak is different than the language that I hear, let's say, or experience. For example, I give love by words of affirmation and physical touch, but I receive love. Or I experience love in, like acts of service and let's say gifts. So how do you
Sure.
talk to people, or what would you recommend if the language that you speak, how you give love, is different from how you receive it? And how do you communicate that?
I always talk about the fact that people are scared to have conversations, and I'm not sure why. They think that if they have the conversation, something bad is going to happen. And most times it's quite the opposite. Tell the other person what you need. Tell them what you're experiencing and what feels good for you. All those things are so important. So if you can convey that to the other person, they'll be able to match it. If you expect them to know, you're likely to not get what your needs met. And I think that just being clear with the other person about what works for you or what you need, or what you want, is much better, and probably the most effective way to get your needs met. And so, if you need love in a certain way, communicate that way to the other person and say, I'm happy to give you love this way. But I'm looking for this. And a lot of times, the other person will want to give it to you, especially if you're giving them what they need in the way that they need it.
Right, absolutely. And to realize that we're not mind readers.
Right.
So,
Yep.
do you see mostly families and adults, or do you have a practice also with children? And I'm curious for listeners who may want to get in touch with you, can you share a little bit about if you're offering telehealth and how they can get in touch with you if they're interested?
Sure. So I work with children, adolescents, and adults. So the full age range. I would say the primary things that I focus on are mood difficulties. So like anxiety and depression, various anxiety disorders, anger, those kinds of things. I help people with relationship difficulties, similar to some of the things we were talking about on this podcast. I also help people with unwanted habits that they might have, maybe like gambling, or they might be, compulsively spending, those kinds of things. I help parents with parenting difficulties. I also have advanced training in perinatal issues, so people that are having fertility problems, difficulties, that you might experience during pregnancy, men or women, during that process, during birth. There's a lot of challenges, and then postnatal, postpartum issues that come up. So those are all things that I help people with.
Wow.
And people can get in touch with me through various methods. If they want to learn more about me, I have a little informational video on my website, as well as lots of information that people can garner from that. And it's goodlifecenternj.com. So if people want to visit the website, that's a way to get there. You can always give me a call as well at 908-956-7880 is the main number for the Good Life Center for Mental Health. So that's another way. And if people want to email me, you can email me at Craig Springer at goodlifecenternj.com.
Perfect. Awesome. And is there anything that you offer for consultation, people who want to get in touch?
Yes. So I give everybody a 15-minute free consultation by phone. We talk about, what difficulties you might have that you want help with, or someone else that you know might need help with. And we determine together if it makes sense for us to move forward. During that time, I give lots of information about myself, as well as about the treatment, and learn lots about the person. And then if we want to move forward, we schedule an appointment. If I'm not a good match, or the person would like referrals or information about other services that someone else might offer, I'm happy to provide those as well.
That's so wonderful. So I'll link that in the show notes. I'll have your email, your website, the phone number. I'll also put your Instagram handle, which is at Dr. Craig Springer. The doctor is Dr. Craig Springer. And is there anything else that you'd like to share with listeners today? And also, what's something that you're grateful for?
Well, I'm very grateful that you had me on this podcast. So I'm going to tell you that I'm very grateful for that. But I'm also really grateful that I get to impact people's lives in the way that I am able to do that. I feel so fortunate that my clients and others have shared so much about their lives with me, and I know that it's a real gift. And also watching people get better, There's nothing better than that. It's truly tremendous. So I'm grateful for all that. And I want to thank you so much, for having me on today. It's really been a great experience. And I'm hoping that I hear from some of the listeners. And I'm happy to help them. And if they're not in my neck of the woods, I'm happy to help them find people in their areas who might be able to help if I can help them. So please, anybody that would like, feel free to reach out. I'm happy to talk. I get back to people within the same day, if not within a few hours of calling me. So please feel free.
That's really amazing. It's been such a pleasure having you on What's Wellness podcast today. It's so wonderful to speak with someone just mindful and aware for yourself and also with so much compassion and empathy. I feel like that you have for people and for your clients and those who seek help with you. So thank you for all that you do to help the community, both near and far. And it's just been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really been a pleasure for me as well.
Speaking with Dr. Springer was such a delight, and it was a pleasure to have him as a guest on the show today. Dr. Springer shared a lot of valuable suggestions and tools for mindset and awareness as we navigate through a very different time in all our lives. Remember that links to get in touch with Dr. Springer are in the show notes for easy navigation. For me, slowing down hasn't been easy, and going through the shutdown and quarantine brought up a lot of questions and challenges for me, just like it has for everyone in some way or another, with regards to work and safety, what's important, and also the division that separates many of us in this country. However, through all of the challenges, the fact that my family and I have been healthy and safe are the number one things that I have been focusing on to fill up with gratitude and appreciation for the present moment, despite the discomfort of it all. Regardless of my tendency to stay busy and keep moving, I have picked up some new hobbies, such as teaching myself to play the ukulele and a 5-minute daily morning meditation. I have also been noticing I'm more present on my morning walks with our dog Bailey and with my husband and our family and friends. We have been able to stay positive also by serving the community and giving back in whatever way we can, whether it's making blankets for those less fortunate or helping out at our church donation drive-by drop-off events. Staying connected to community and of service has kept our minds focused on giving back to others rather than what we may be lacking ourselves. I always find that if my mental and emotional states begin to decline and the blues start to set in, if I can somehow help another person or family and make a positive, tangible difference in the lives of others, I will feel better. It's almost from a selfish place, just knowing that if I lend a hand, that I'm also the one receiving. But it's a beautiful way to not only lift yourself, but others up as well. As always, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, or feedback, or need support in any way, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Get in touch via email, aliyah@aliyahyoga.com, spelled A-H-L-I-A. If something stood out to you from today's episode, do me a huge favor and take a screenshot. Share it on your social media, tag @aliyahyoga and @whatswellnesspodcast on Instagram, and I'll be sure to reshare. If I can ask another huge favor, please subscribe to this podcast, share it with your friends and family, help to spread the word about What's Wellness, and leave a review in the iTunes podcast store so that I can continue to share the warm words of the week and read your review on air, as well as offer you a free full-length yoga class video from my website as my way of saying thanks. If you enjoy online yoga classes, home workouts, as well as guided meditations, and for more about what I offer, please go to aliyahyoga.com. I also have CBD for sale on the site and tons of full-length yoga videos for unlimited use with a small one-time purchase. Thank you once again for tuning in to What's Wellness Today, and I'll be back next Thursday with a brand new episode for you. Until next time, be well. We'll be right back.